Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode we were talking about how we can find meditation even when we're dealing with a mind that's chaotic, that has thoughts just flowing all the time. And how we use mindfulness to really focus on our goal in meditation. And the way we left off last episode is to be one with the universal consciousness. So that means that not only do you think of consciousness, but you also think of yourself as consciousness too. And that's where we're going to start with our podcast. And we should understand in this episode that the guru is consciousness as well. And that means God is consciousness. Love is consciousness. So however you want to focus on consciousness, whichever form you want to focus, is fine. But we do have to accept the fact that we are that same essence as well. So today we're going to look a little bit more at the mind, and we're going to start with a Western idea, Western concept of it, because certainly there's been much done on the mind, work on the mind from the West. And I would say that the West is always looking at sort of what the ultimate attainment could be. You know, they may not be explicitly saying so, but they're always looking at the highest sort of ideal. And for Freudians and people who follow Freud, I would say that the highest mind is the analyzed mind, not the partially analyzed mind, but the fully analyzed mind. And you'll find that in psychoanalysts. So if you have psychoanalysis, the person that you'll be talking to, a psychoanalyst, is going to have that fully analyzed mind. But in the East, we think that there's something even greater than that. We call that person enlightened, or guru. We also think of the guru as God, too, as pure consciousness, no flaws, no imperfections at all. So that's how we can go from the West to the East. And this might be shocking to you. And I think it is shocking. I think it does shock you. I think that you know, shocking is considered to be, you know, the awakening of Kundalini, which is what the guru does. And so the shocking part of it, the palpable feeling of it, is the awakening of spiritual energy. And that awakening makes you turn into an enlightened being as well. So you can come at it from the West. I imagine most of my audience is a Western audience. So we're going to look at it from first the fully analyzed mind, you know, and we're going to take that to the perfected guru. The enlightened master. And we're going to look at both those, because I think all too often if we're in the spiritual community, we're just talking about the master. We forget the fully analyzed people. Mostly you could just easily say the psychoanalysts that exist in this country and other countries. We forget to talk about them. We shouldn't forget them. They're very, very important. But when we're talking about the psychoanalysis, the psychoanalytic culture, say, with the psychoanalysts, we shouldn't forget the master, right? We shouldn't forget the fully realized, fully enlightened master. Obviously, these podcasts aren't on psychoanalysis. I'm not a psychoanalyst. So we're going to be talking about the spiritual side of things. But as we do so, we can't forget the psychoanalysts. Okay, so we, from the East, we also value the mind very strongly. just as much as the West. In fact, the West probably values it even more than the East, and I'll explain to you what I mean by that. The reason is because in the West, the mind is considered something very, very real. In fact, the entire Western psychology is based on the fact that the mind exists. Now, this is what's interesting. What do I mean by that? Well, the East considers the mind God. The East considers the mind guru. The East considers the mind consciousness. So you could say, well, if it considers it consciousness, then it really doesn't even exist. And that's why I would say the West thinks of the mind much more strongly than the East does. The East considers the mind to be pure consciousness. And in fact, you'll find the East, there's not too many mental hospitals in the East, just historically so. And so I think they have a better handle on their mind than we do in the West. So that's a huge point. So if we could get, you know, the psychoanalyst to sit down and say, oh, by the way, there's this also this little idea, if you believe in God, if you believe in consciousness, let's start to think of our mind, right? The universal mind is God, whether it's the mind of the patient or the mind of the therapist. So this is one thing that we can look at. And in fact, this one point is enough. I don't even have to speak anymore on this podcast, on this episode. I've already done what I needed to do, you know, 5 minutes in. But, you know, I will continue to talk a little bit, you know, hopefully you don't mind the sound of my voice, but I'm serious. What I've just said is enough. What I've just said, if you take it to heart, will allow you to meditate. You know, what I've said already is enough for this episode to get across what I want to get across. But we'll look at a couple other things. We're about halfway done. So that's a huge point. I would say that with that awareness, you are able to do a lot. And I would say that what would come up, arise in one's mind, right? What arises, say, in consciousness, in space? And for that, we're going to use something that is philosophical but also practical. It's this idea that the sounds that we hear are still consciousness. Letters. What are letters, right? Letters are just sounds. So letters are consciousness. So the letters of the alphabet, the English alphabet, are all consciousness. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and so on, are consciousness. Those letters combine to form words, right? So if you use the letters, you know, S, T, U, P, I, D, right? Doesn't mean anything. But if you combine those letters, what do they spell? Stupid, right? Now that has a meaning as well. And that meaning, we identify with that meaning, right? We feel like we're one with that meaning. And that causes us to feel bad, right? So, but nevertheless, it's still just consciousness. So how did that happen? And the same is true on the positive side, you know? So this is the power of words, right? But if we remember the mind as consciousness, and words are the foundation of everything, right? Everything is words. When you get therapy, what is going on there? Just words, right? It's words of the therapist, and it's words of the patient, it's words back and forth, right? But all of those words are consciousness. So that's another huge thing. Once we establish that the mind is pure chitti, or consciousness, then everything else follows from that. Just in our example, words, what are words? They're letters, right? What are letters? Letters are sounds. Sounds are consciousness. So this is another big point. In the East, this is called Matruka Shakti. So we know Kundalini, we know Shakti. Matruka means the letters of the alphabet. So we recognize them as also forms of consciousness. So this is another huge thing. And for anyone in therapy, you're welcome to dwell on this idea. This is an idea that will really give you a lot of peace of mind and joy. So you can see why it's important to mention psychoanalysis in our discussion of spirituality, because it exists and it's there, and it's not something that we should be flippant about. Okay, so this is also a very, very important thing, because letters control everything, right? Words control everything. So how do we use those words? Well, we've talked about many times in this podcast that, things like I am a sinner are bad, whereas thinking things like I am God are good, right? So that's also Matruka Shakti. Those are also letters of the alphabet. Those are also consciousness. But if we can choose how we, if we can choose our words that we use for ourselves more correctly and transform things like from I am a sinner to I am consciousness, as we started this episode, that can be a way to use the letters effectively. That shouldn't surprise anyone. Okay, so as we're wrapping up here, I would say that, what I've given you today is basically, I could have stopped just by saying that the mind is consciousness. That's usually sufficient. But with a little bit of help, we can see that really is the case, because words are nothing but letters. Letters are nothing but consciousness. So really, the mind is consciousness in that context, because the mind is always going to have something in it. So if we give it something good, like this idea that I am consciousness, I am God, right? Then we're actually giving the mind something good to use for our meditation. And those are the kind of thoughts you should have when you're meditating. I am consciousness, I am God. But even in the positive, this Matruka Shakti can work harmfully, even in the positive. So what do I mean by that? What if you were to start to think, well, what am I going to get from this meditation? What if your expectations were just to go completely? We shouldn't have any expectations when we meditate, right? You should cut off all of those thoughts. But what happens, right? You start to think, your mind goes in a positive direction. What am I going to get? What am I going to do? Oh my God, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. Cut all of those off. We shouldn't have any expectations when we meditate. And so that's a way that even positive thinking can get in the way, because it starts to be totally ridiculous. You start to think of all sorts of things. Eventually, the mind turns negative, no matter how much it's thinking. Just has that, because none of us are enlightened, so eventually we'll find something negative, right, if we let our thoughts out of control. So really what we want to try to do is we want to cut off our thinking. This is where it's very different than the West, because the West is always another appointment, another time. The therapist wants to say something to you, you want to say something back. It goes on for infinity. But with the East, what we do is eventually we just cut the thoughts off. So you're welcome to do that. As you're listening to me in this episode, is just to literally cut off the thought, cut off the thinking, restrain the mind. And this is where the East comes in, which is very different than the West. If anything, this is the big difference between psychoanalysis and meditation. We literally constrain that mind, right? We know bad thoughts are bad. But even good thoughts are bad, because eventually they lead to something not so great. So that's what we do. And when we do that, I would say that we can start to find our inner strength. Because as long as there's even it's just any stream of thoughts, we're never really going to get behind the mind to see the power that's there. And by that I mean Kundalini, right? Matruka Shakti or Matruka Kundalini is the letters of the alphabet. So if we take those letters away, what are we left with? We're just left with pure energy. And that's what we should be focusing on when we meditate. Then you become consciousness. And through that focus, focusing on God within yourself, you're able to see God in other people too. And then you're able to realize the truth of enlightenment for yourself. And you can become enlightened just from doing that. So I just want to say thank you to everyone for tuning in today. Hopefully it has been enlightening for you. And I urge you to practice these teachings and to meditate peacefully with love. I also welcome you with love. So that's kind of how we're going to do this. And we're going to, you know, we never forget the West, but we build off the West with this idea that God is within the heart. So I just want to say thank you again to everyone listening. This has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.